A lot of football to discuss. Our guest is the ultimate returning champ from his days at the Pac-12 Network, now an anchor on the NFL Network, host on Sirius XM Radio. On Twitter, use the handle at @Mike_Yam. Always repping the 201 in Jersey. Mike, always appreciate the time. Sir, how's life been treating you?
Things are good, man. I always appreciate your introductions. It's always great to be with you. It's a good time, man. I mean, the football season, we're in the throes of it. I'd like to say we're getting clarity on the Pac-12 side of things. We're clearly not, and it's just another season of chaos. And I guess there's a little bit of separation now going on in the NFL. So it's been good, man. It's a great time for sports fans.
You know, I want to start actually with the conversation you had with Jonathan Smith of Oregon State.
Yeah,
I think you talked to him after that historic USC win. You were like me and many, you know, we thought they were taking a step forward, maybe get to 6 wins, make a bowl. But now, safe to say, coach and those around his program are like, why stop there? What did Coach Smith have to say about, yeah, no limits on what we could accomplish?
Yeah, you know, it's a good point. And, you know, first of all, I think we can all agree, like, the arrow's been pointing up with this program for some time. You know, a lot of times a new coach comes in and there's always a buzz. And I think there's always a certain degree of optimism surrounding a brand new head coach. But I think there's, you know, a lot of times that just it fades, especially when wins don't really accumulate. And they took some lumps early, but I think, you know, football fans saw improvement, and it didn't necessarily always mean W's, at the end of the season, but, you know, the gap got closer and closer, and now they're starting to win some football games. And, you know, the one thing that I brought up to Jonathan Smith was, hey, if I would have said to you before the season, what's the goal? I think everyone, fans, people within that program, you know, Steve, they just said, let's get to a bowl game. But, you know, as I kind of half joked about not getting clarity in the Pac-12 conference, chaos has officially ensued, and I look at that division, and look, Oregon State, they're going to say to themselves, are you kidding me? Like, yeah, I don't know if they're going to be favored. I would imagine they probably won't be, but who the hell knows by the time they match up against Oregon? If it comes down to a one game, like, why can't they win that matchup? So I'm with you 100%. Like, I think the narrative and the conversation surrounding Jonathan's program has greatly changed. I think a lot of it has to do with the play of their quarterback, Chance Nolan. And obviously, BJ's been terrific coming out of that backfield. He just has a nose for getting into the end zone. And case in point, just the amount of production and development that Jonathan Smith and his staff has gotten out of their guys, it really is remarkable. So just kudos to him and his program.
All right, I wanted to bring that up. Oregon on a bye. I wanted to get some NFL. I mean, last night the Rams beat the Seahawks. Not big news. LA's good, but that Seattle defense, I mean, once the Legion of Boom, maybe now the Legion of Gloom. First ever team to allow 400 or more yards in 4 straight games. We just learned they might be without Russell Wilson 4 to 8 weeks. Man, it turns quick. How much trouble do they look like they're in without a dramatic turnaround?
Yeah, it's tough. And I know there was flashes from Geno Smith. And let's just say Geno comes in and he plays well. He's not Russell Wilson. And I think you hit the nail on the head, Steve, right? I mean, this defense is at times tough to watch. You saw breakdowns last year. You saw some slight improvement later in the year. But generally speaking, they're having problems getting stops right now. And that's a massive issue. And the one thing they had going for them, I shouldn't say the one thing. There's a lot of positives around this football program. The problem is, no, Russell Wilson is their best player. He's the guy that dictates that team's success. Now with him going down, this is going to be a massive uphill battle for him, especially in a division that's as good as that one is.
You know, as for L.A., when they traded Jared Goff for Matt Stafford, I thought that put them up there with Tampa as one of the NFC favorites, while the defense has slipped a little bit. Brandon Staley's with the Chargers. So I'm curious, what was your initial thought about the Rams making that move and how it's played out so far?
You know, you introduced me and you said I was with Pac-12 Network. I still root so damn hard for the guys that played in this league. You know, you develop relationships with them and, you know, a lot of the coaches and the connection that they have with the fan bases there. you know, candidly, Steve, like, I was disappointed for Jared. Just look, I mean, a couple of years ago, they're in the Super Bowl. It's Los Angeles. It seemed like a great fit. He's Marin County, so Northern California. We got to stay in the state. And then to go to a place like Detroit, like, that's tough. But at the same time, you know, Nate Sewell's there, and they actually drafted a couple other Pac-12 guys. So, look, it's an uphill battle. But to your point, the Rams, I think in some ways, you know, elevated the things that they think that they can do offensively. Last night was a really good example of that. I mean, the way Matt kind of the way he was able to orchestrate that offense and hit as many different receivers as he has. Look, there's just a ton of weapons on that team. The Cooper Cups of the world, the, you know, the Robert Woods. I mean, they have so many weapons on that team. I was concerned about a lack of running game, obviously, with the injuries that they had coming into the season. But the reality is, you know, the Rams are, they're a really talented football team. And as for as much as I was singing the praises of Russell Wilson, I think that same conversation applies in a lot of ways to the Rams. I think it's a different conversation because as much as there's an emphasis on Stafford playing well, the reality is they have other stars on that team that can carry the load. And yes, there's stars on the Seahawks, but I look at some of those offensive weapons and they're predicated their success on Russell Wilson being out there. So I think there's two programs or two teams going in opposite direction, but the Rams, they're in great shape now with Stafford. 4-1. I mean, Jesus, are you kidding me?
Talking NFL, Mike Yam, NFL Network. So I mentioned the Charger coach, but let's talk about their second-year starter at quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Who we both watched his entire career here at Oregon. Cranks out one of the great rookie seasons ever for a quarterback, and he gets better. Mike, he makes multiple plays every game that make you forget he hasn't even played 20 games. And I know where I sit. I could almost see his high school from here. But can we gush enough about the way this kid is playing?
No, you can't. It's remarkable. And I think, you know, what's really fascinating is you have conversations, right? Like, there was five guys, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's five players, quarterbacks taken this year in the first round of the NFL draft. You know, they're all going to be starting this weekend now that Trey Lance is getting the nod from the Niners. And, you know, take me around the league, right? Like, you look at those spots. Now, granted, those are teams. There's a reason why they were picking some of them really early in this draft. But, you know, at the same time, it's not like the Chargers were world beaters when Justin got there. Hell, he wasn't even supposed to be the starting quarterback at that point. They took their lumps last year. I look at the success that he's had, and I think talent evaluators, whether it's scouts or general managers or just fan bases, they'll sit there and go, well, damn, like, you got a guy last year in the draft who's balling out and all of a sudden is a difference maker. It goes to show you just how difficult it is to pinpoint that next great quarterback. And then it's a testament to just how talented Justin Herbert is for him to have this type of success. Now, he's got some weapons, you know, the Mike Williams of the world and the Keenan Allens, but, you know, they're making plays right now. Austin Eckler's been a really nice force for them coming out of that backfield. You know, they're making some strides, and it's hard not to point at the quarterback as the biggest reason for that team's success.
Wow. I just, when you said that, it just took me a second because I'm way older than you, but even when you first started following, rookie quarterbacks were kind of eased in, almost maybe until Peyton, but like you said, Fields, Lance, Lawrence, Wilson, Mac Jones starting a month in. Just off kind of what I was going to ask, that just, if that doesn't tell the story about 2021 NFL and expectations, I don't know what does.
Oh, it's totally changed. You're right, Steve, although I'm feeling a little bit older. I just turned 40, so, you know, I think you get into that category, and, you know, the gray hairs are coming out a little bit more, and I feel like I'm, you know, a snap, crackle, pop when I, you know, the knees and the ankles every morning. So I feel like I can, you know, I got that maturity now that comes with saying I was watching some of those games early on. But, you know, to your point, you're 100% accurate. When I was younger, you know, even, you know, my teenage years and certainly my early 20s, like, there was an expectation for younger quarterbacks to come in, but, you know, it was more common to have these guys sit and learn behind a veteran. You know, it was sort of that contingency plan and planning ahead, you know, much like what the Packers have done, right? Like Jordan Love, there was so much conversation around Aaron Rodgers. Well, you know, there needs to be that succession plan. You know, the Atlanta Falcons are a good example of that, right? Like, they had an opportunity this year to get one of those quarterbacks, and they didn't. So you sort of now wonder, like, what does life for them look like after Matt Ryan. Well, maybe it's not a huge issue because, you know, the reality is whenever they get that quarterback, they just get thrust into the starting lineup anyway. So, you know, that the idea of learning on the job, it's in full force now as a starting quarterback in the NFL. And once again, circling back, it is a testament to just how talented not only Justin Herbert is physically, but the mental acumen to be able to process things that he's doing right now. It really is special.
A few final thoughts from Mike Yam of the NFL Network. Bills at Chiefs. Casey really got the best of them in the AFC title game, but it seems like a bit of a different story this year. I mean, Buffalo, their last three opponents, I mean, my goodness, they've pitched two shutouts with all the points.
Yeah.
Casey ended that losing streak against Philly. I know it's only week five, but big chance for the Bills go up two games with the tiebreaker for early October. I feel like there's a lot at stake here.
Oh, yeah, there definitely is. And if you would have told me, and look, I'm not going to characterize it as a must win, and I don't think you are either.
No.
But there's more juice from a Chiefs pressure standpoint than we would have anticipated. You know, October, what is it, the 8th, whatever it is today, heading into this weekend. There's no way we would have felt like there was, like, this, I don't want to say panic because I think that's overstating it, but, like, you know, you got to get this one. And you're right about the Bills and the dominant win that they had and sitting at 3-1. The tiebreaker certainly looming. You know, the Texans obviously are a team that struggled, but, you know, the last couple weeks here, they've looked good. I also kind of question, I don't want to say it's inflated because that's not where I'm going with this, but their one loss is against the Steelers team that quite honestly is still trying to figure it out, right? And now they've beaten the Dolphins, the Washington football team, and the Texans. And I go, all right, not exactly world beaters. So I think for as much as it's important for the Chiefs to win this football game, I think this is a nice barometer test right now for Buffalo to say, you know what, we're going to flex against a really good football team.
No, you're spot on there. Now, what I'm about to say is going to pain me as a Giants fan, but and I don't think they're a pushover because two of their three losses have been gut-wrenchers, trust me. But, man, watching these Cowboys with a healthy Dak, I know Zeke's got a knee issue, but that offensive line, it looks like the defense has improved. That Trayvon Diggs kid from Alabama is a ball hawk.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hearing Jimmy Johnson with how about them Cowboys. But, man, do they look good.
Yeah, they've been, you know, and I think, you know, Steve, I don't know if you felt this way coming off the opener for the season against the Buccaneers. I said to myself, you know what, like, Dak looked pretty good in this game, and I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, hey, they'll be able to improve, and I don't want to point at, like, Micah Parsons as, like, oh, he's, like, the singular reason, because it's not, because I think Diggs is a guy that you can make an argument for right now might be the defensive player, you know, MVP of the league, just based off of what he's been able to do. He has created so many turnovers with a lot of these interceptions that he's had early on this season, but you're 100% right. Like, there's a belief here, like, the way they played against the Bucs, I'm buying, right? They beat the Chargers on the road. Okay, cool. Like, they smashed Philly. I don't really think Philly is a quality team, but I'm buying on the Panthers. Like, I think, you know, look at that team's defense. The fact that they put up 36 against a defense that I thought was pretty good is impressive. So I'm with you. I feel great about Dallas. You know, if you said to me, hey, go, you know, pick a team in the NFC East, Steve, I wish I could say it's the Giants, but, you know, right now I think the Dallas Cowboys are by far the team, and Dak, it's like a layup for him to be, you know, a comeback player of the year, having the success that he's had.
And lastly, Packers at Bengals. You want to talk old guard versus new guard. I mean, there's a lot of storylines. You know, because of the way the media works, Cincinnati is kind of a sneaky 3-1. I think we saw signs of what Burrow could become. He had a clutch fourth quarter last Thursday. You know, and he also throws the ball down the field. But what about Joe Burrow season two and this big matchup with Rodgers and the Pack?
You know, we were singing the praises of Justin Herbert, and rightfully so. I can't help but think how different the conversation would be. And it's not a knock on Justin. Hey, we'd be talking about two dudes in that class who are clearly real guys in Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, had Burrow not, you know, gotten hurt last season. So I think it's pretty cool that Joe's having the success. Candidly, I was dead wrong about this. You know, I was disappointed that Cincinnati did not draft Penei Sewell and decided to go with Chase. But, they've added some weapons there, and it's looked good. That I mean, Joe Mixon, you know, I know he's banged up right now. I actually don't know his status for this game. I think he's okay. He was dealing with that calf injury. But, you know, assuming he's out there, look, I still think I don't – there's something about it, Steve, and maybe it's because it's the Bengals and it's because of the struggles they've had. I just can't pick them against the Packers with Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, if you know, next time you invite me on and or we'll text about this maybe over the weekend, I just – there's a part of me that just says, hey, Green Bay is just going to handle business. But if the Bengals win and Burrow plays well, my God, like, this league has got so many aces in the hole when it comes to young, great quarterbacks. It's going to be pretty cool to see.
Yeah, well, first of all, I give Burrow credit for only getting injured last year. It looked like at times he was going to get killed. But
yeah.
So, folks, he's Mike Yam. He's got a billion things going on, always generous enough to put some time aside to join us. Mike, great info. Great insight. Always fun. You be well. You be safe. Have a great weekend with all the action. And obviously, I look forward to talking again soon.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Always appreciate the invite, Steve. And stay healthy. I hope everyone out there enjoys what should be a great weekend of college and NFL football.
All right. Have a good one, Mike. Take care, man.
You too. Take care.